Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother, dig it. Stop right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. How you doing, Sam?
Good morning, Earl. Another beautiful day at the Shaw, of course.
Yeah, inside.
Well, definitely inside.
Yeah. Well, it'll change. All you have to do, as an old guy told me a long time ago, just live long enough and things will get better. So I want to say that I'm honored to have a studio full of guests. You know, that's pretty rare for us, right? Since we started with COVID and all
those things. On my lonesome, so it's nice to see some friendly faces in here.
Yeah, well, these friendly faces happen to represent an organization called Teen Challenge. It is a national organization, and the more I read about it, you know, the more I just am marvel at it, because it's all over the nation, and it is at the root of it is bringing young people, and I don't want to use the term wayward young people, because when you're young, it's expected that we would, you know, if I can remember that far back, that we would be wayward as we try to find our way through what is really, life is very difficult, and we somehow expect children to be able to navigate it without having to deal with the issues that even adults have difficulties dealing with. So I want to begin by introducing my guest, Ms. Jennifer Harper. She is an associate director of Teen Challenge in Milwaukee.
Yes, sir.
All right. I also want to introduce Mr. Bobby Usborne. He is an intern intake person who, I guess, does that with young people who come in. He helps acclimate them and bring them into the program. And also, Ms. Jacqueline
Claim.
All right. Who is an administration specialist. And, you know, I tell us, and this is how I was on my way home several weeks ago. And as I was taking 94 home, I saw this bus that said Teen Challenge on it. And anybody in Milwaukee who knows me knows that my heart is for young people. And I have dedicated my life to working with young people and giving them direction and guidance. And I think I had heard the term Teen Challenge before, but because there is a Teen Challenge location that I drive past sometimes when I'm in Milwaukee, then I often wonder, what is that? Well, today is our opportunity to find out what that is. And if you'll be so kind, Ms. Harper, to give us a little background on what Teen Challenge is.
Sure. We're a drug and alcohol recovery residential center, and we're based in Milwaukee. We've got a men's center and a women's center. And the idea is if anyone's got trouble beyond what they can really just take care of themselves whenever that addiction has taken over their life, we just provide a place to stay and time to regroup. And what we found is we're considered long-term in that recovery space. Obviously, 12 months is a while, that it takes that amount of time. So it's in a loving environment. There's structure and instruction. There's a lot of different components to the program, but that's what we do. And it started out really in Brooklyn, New York, in the late 1950s with the gang activity there. And the original name for the program was Teenage Evangelism, because that's who they were reaching. And then heroin became a huge issue. It's kind of resurged, obviously, and is an issue today. And so we expanded the population we serve. So our particular center, we actually serve men and women 18 and older, but we've got adolescent centers, and really we're worldwide. Largest recovery network in the world with 1,400 centers. So there's strength in that network. We're faith-based, so we just believe that once an individual really sees that they have worth, then some of those self-destructive behaviors really can stop.
So it is not an easy undertaking for anybody to first realize that they have an addiction problem. It takes some people their entire lives, and they'll go to their graves never admitting or never realizing that they have an addiction problem. And so to get a young person to somehow admit that they have an addiction problem is more than a notion. How do you go about doing it?
Right. I suppose that's why the individual themselves is not typically the first person to make contact. It's someone that loves them, a mom, a friend, a boyfriend or girlfriend, someone around them that can see what they're not seeing. And that's a question we ask a lot. Hey, we were getting a call about this individual. Are they willing? Where are they at? So once we can make that connection, and it's usually just through someone loving them enough, maybe firm, maybe tough love, but relentless love that'll bring them into the program. And then the application process is very simple for a reason, because we know once they make that decision, we want them to come quick. So it's just a paper application, a phone interview, and a physical, and we're ready to get started.
So how young is the youngest person that you've ever had to deal with or treat?
18. We've had 17-year-olds with upcoming birthdays, and then if we ever have, which we do have people younger call looking for help, we're able to refer them. There's a great program in Springfield. There's one in Florida. So being part of that network, we can refer out.
Because you call it Teen Challenge, they're only a teen for, what, 1 year before?
Yes.
So it's really basically an adult, young adult.
So we spend a lot of time explaining that name. Like I said, we had started New York City as our roots, with gang members in New York City, turned into heroin addicts. And so it was mostly younger people at that time. And then there was such a need and an outcry for all these people all over the nation, say, hey, I want to get on this, but I'm older. And so we expanded that population we serve. So about 3 years, they officially rebranded the name Adult and Teen Challenge, but we're known so much by that we kind of default to teen.
Wow, you've been going since the 50s. That's unbelievable. Yeah. History. Bobby, let me ask you, you're an intake specialist. So let me say this. I'm a recovering person. And I, through many years of my life, wasted not understanding that I thought I was having fun. I've been recovered for a long, long time now and can't even begin to imagine that I ever allowed myself to ever wind up in a situation where I wasn't in control of myself. But since the time that I stopped using, my life just blossomed. Mm-hmm. And not from the perspective of what I'm doing now, but how the fact that I am in total control over who I am. Let's talk about what that's like when you wind up, someone winds up coming into you. You're the guy who has to evaluate that person and what that person is going through. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's a great question. When a person enters into the program, most likely they're pretty much at their wit's end. They're broken. And they're looking for hope. They're looking for a purpose and a reason to move on. And when they come into our program, we allow them to have an opportunity to share with us what's the reasoning why they're here. And once they give us that reason, we give them an understanding of what we're doing here at Great Lakes Adult and Teen Challenge. And that is pretty much letting them know that we're building relationships, number one, with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And number two, we're giving them a new purpose and a new reason to start reliving their life from their old behaviors and giving them new foundations. They have to do with character qualities, personal and anger issues. We try to dig a little bit deeper into their past to see what's caused this behavior in them that's caused them to react in such a way of using drugs and alcohol and abusing themselves, abusing the ones that are closest to them and that love them.
You know, people don't. Yeah, when you start off doing drugs and alcohol, it's for fun. And you have a lot of fun doing it. And at some point in time, it overtakes you.
Yeah.
You're not aware of it. But, you know, the spirituality portion of it that you just mentioned, how big a role does that play in?
It's probably the core of our program. I would say. Our foundation of Teen Challenge is founded on the gospel. And there was a preacher back in the 60s, David Wilkerson, who felt God had called him to go to the streets of New York to minister to these gang members that were on trial. And the Teen Challenge has just blossomed based off of that because of life transformation through the gospel. So we believe that that's the core of Teen Challenge, is establishing and building that relationship with Jesus Christ.
You know, some people have never had that relationship, don't believe in it. But once you lose your way, you know, it's amazing what a sober mind will allow you to, you know, inculcate into your thinking.
Yes.
You know, we've got to go to a break. And when we come back, we'll continue the conversation.
Sure.
You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. You can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Now, I bet those of you who listen to me every day, I didn't know that I didn't fall down out of heaven, that I came up out of hell like everybody else. So this is a good time for me to announce that. We'll be back. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Earl Ingram Show, as always. You can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I am joined in studio today by Teen Challenge, Miss Jennifer Harper, who is the associate director, Bobby Usborne, who is intern intake, and Miss Jacqueline Klein.
Klein.
All right. Who is the administrative specialist? Okay. Well, we'll get it right. I wanted to say this, and Sam, I know it surprises you. I know you thought I fell down out of heaven.
Every day.
But no, it's life's a struggle.
Yes.
And we need to stop acting like life is not a struggle. And the more the society accepts the fact that life is a struggle for all of us. None of us escape the struggles of this life. And so to expect everybody to be able to succeed in it without some support and some help is what I think kind of leads us down the path of so many broken lives. And so Teen Challenge and what it offers is what I think made me want to, after I had my conversations with Jacqueline on the phone, it made me really say, I've got to get these people in, and we've got to have the conversation, because I know there are people listening who are facing these same issues themselves. And so I remember, you know, back in the day, when if somebody had these types of problems, substance abuse, number one, our society almost encourages substance abuse when it comes to alcohol. Well, it's legal. Everywhere you go, you know. Well, let's go to the, if you go to the Brewer game, there's the tailgating. If you go to the Packer game, there's the tailgating. We encourage people to come out, and whenever it's sporting activities and those kinds of things, it's okay because it's alcohol. Alcohol is legal. People don't intentionally wind up wanting to become addicted, but they don't know. And so it's legal, and it's something that we push in our society. You know, then people say it's okay. And so from the time you're a very young person, you are kind of acclimated to alcohol. You guys can stop, join in at any moment. Right now, marijuana is something that, you know, I remember when I was young, they said, you know, it's not addictive. Even though I was doing it all day, every day, you know, from the time I was about 19 years old, morning, noon, and night. Never considered that to be an addictive issue. I just enjoyed it, just like people might want a glass of wine, and they drink a glass of wine in the evening, and they don't think it's a big deal that they're doing it every night. You know, the one in the evening, and then the one right before bed, and they don't see this as addictive personalities. Let's talk about how you can determine what's an addictive personality.
Gosh, those two substances you mentioned, I think that's the start of almost everyone's journey that's in our program right now. Yeah. You know, harmless alcohol use, and now that marijuana's got this status, pardon me, of being legal, it's fallen into that same category. So it's a different mentality, I think, of younger people coming in that don't see it as an actual drug. Addictive personality, though, we are seeing people after they've realized that, but it's any time when it's almost this insatiable gap in life that you want more and more, and you're seeing consequences that are negative, but they don't alert you to stop because you just can't get enough. And that can be in a variety of areas, technology, substance, relationships, anything that's going to cause harm. And we don't have that little trigger to help us understand, hey, I need to stop because it's hurting me, but we just want more.
You know,
I definitely can relate to that, Jen, that, you know, in my past history, I've come from a drug addiction, and from a very early age, starting out with my parents,
right.
Coming home at a young age, seeing marijuana, saw it passed around the house, alcohol, being told to go to the basement, the grown stuff's going on. And I kind of picked that up myself as I grew up into my younger years, and it caused me to be rebellious at being involved with marijuana, starting to smoke cigarettes. I'm only 15, 14 years old. Next thing you know, by the time I'm 16, I'm involved with gangs. I'm using cocaine. 18 years old, I'm selling cocaine. By the time I reached my 21st birthday, I had been married and been strung out on crack cocaine. And so it just was like a ripple effect. From early on, you know, from the structure in the home. And the addiction had become a part of my lifestyle that I couldn't even go to the movies without having some marijuana with me. I couldn't even go hang out with my friends without smoking marijuana. I couldn't even sit at home relaxed without having it and not thinking I had a problem when the marijuana was involved. But eventually, like I said, it became a ripple effect. It just became more destructive as the years got on, as I got older and older.
You know, it is not the easiest thing to overcome. So it's not like the chances are that you wind up going to Teen Challenge and, you know, you spend a couple of days and now all of a sudden you've learned the tools that you need and all of a sudden you're free. You know, recovery is a lifelong undertaking. Let's talk a little bit about that, because I know people can get frustrated because they want to go back to who they were, and none of that happens overnight.
Right, and even as bad of a situation as it is, it's familiar. So when you've got all the substance stripped away, everything that you've leaned on, and you're facing yourself, your choices and where you've ended up, there can be this desire just to go back to what I know, even if it's bad. And then really taking some of those old behaviors off, maybe some lying or, you know, the way we've hurt people around us, we start to become new people. We see men and women in the program change. Well, that's good, but it's also scary because you wonder, hey, I'm not familiar to myself anymore. So it is a process. And it's beautiful.
Well, you imagine. So it's Teen Challenge. How old is the oldest person that you've allowed to come into your program?
Well, we don't have a limit, but
you don't.
I think we have a gentleman in the men's center. He's about 67 right
now.
Really?
Yes.
We've had a lady 69.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So that, I mean, so the teen challenge thing kind of throws it off. You know, how many people can you have at the facility that you have now at any given time?
Total, we can house up to about 60 between both centers. Yeah.
So what is the process for someone who has either a loved one or themselves who want to...
I'm going
to
let Jack listen.
Oh, we'll do that after the break.
All right, yeah.
She can come on after the break. So we'll bring her on and we'll talk about that. But it costs money, you know, to maintain a facility that is doing what that kind of work and the staff and all of that. How is that possible? What do your resources come from?
So there's expenses with residential just because we're a great big family living together. So we do what we do for a real fraction of the cost of other programs. So we just right off the bat try to just keep our expenses low and just be wise with what we have. But we've got a real team of people that support us. There's individuals that donate monthly. We have churches and businesses that have just gotten behind what we're doing.
So let's do this. We've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open as always at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Our teen challenge is here. We'll be right back. Loving you. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I am joined by Teen Challenge. And, you know, I know that there are people in the listening audience who face challenges themselves in their lives, either have faced challenges or facing them as we speak. And, you know, the best way to deal with those challenges sometimes, you know, to realize that I can't fix everything in my own life. And that's okay, because life presents so many different challenges that you sometimes need support and help. And that's exactly what's at the root of Teen Challenge. But I want to, again, for those of you who are just joining me, tell you that I'm joined by Ms. Jennifer Harper. She is Associate Director of Teen Challenge. Mr. Bobby Usborne, who is an intern intake specialist, and Ms. Jacqueline
Klein.
Okay. You know, I'm just going to spell it the way it sounds, and then I won't. Okay. And so you are an
admission specialist.
We were talking before we went to break about the cost associated with this. This is in-house, right? I mean, people don't come to you and they get 2 hours of training and then they go back out into the cruel world and try to recover. That's a very difficult undertaking to do. So they're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, huh?
Yes.
So how do you begin to finance something that expensive?
Well, I think Miss Jen said it real well before break, but we have a lot of supporters, and it's all about developing relationships with the community, with the people around us, with the people in the program. We do have a cost, and it'll say that there's a cost in the application, but when somebody's applying, they get tripped up on that, and I'm really excited to tell them, hey, it says that in there, but you don't actually have to pay it. So, right, I mean, we need support. We put together events. We have two major ones coming up. We have a 5K. Come out and support us. I don't know how to spread the word on the details of that.
Yeah, greatlakesatc.com or our Facebook page, Adult and Teen Challenge Great Lakes, has information. It's our first 5K. It's on June 4th. And then we have a golf outing coming up May 9th. And we do events just to bring community in, just so people even know we exist, but also to raise funds. And then also we have some micro enterprises that we do. We've got a thrift store on site. an auto donation program, a greenhouse. So our all the men and women in the program are growing plants for a spring plant sale. We're making candles.
Candles is our newest little enterprise.
How many different facilities do you have in the state?
We have our men's home and women's home in Milwaukee, and there's a women's home in La Crosse, so the far western part of the state.
So if someone who's listening now, and they clearly with all the things going on in the society now, with all the pressures and that people are faced with today, from COVID to dealing with just wayward family members and all of those kinds of things, how can someone, what is the process of connecting with you guys?
So this is right here. You can call it what you want. You can call it chance, but I believe, so I'm going to call it God. We have been praying for a way to get the word out there, because this is the way I see it. Our world is a hurt and dying world. And I have a teenager myself, 17 years old, and he's following in my footsteps. And it's all about influence. The world is influencing him and taking him away from who he really is as he's trying to grow up and learn about who he is. It's just really, really crazy. And the same thing happened to me. I am a graduate of the program, so I can relate on a level to everybody that comes in more than somebody with just a degree from college. Right. And so that's how it works. But when I get a phone call, I try to make the process as easy as possible on them, knowing the fear that they're walking through right now and the uncertainty and the confusion. And so I try my best to develop a relationship with them right away, just real friendly, real soft voice, just love on them, right? That's our basic principle, is love. And I explain the process to them. It's an application. It is a physical and blood work. And then an over-the-phone induction questionnaire of targeted questions, and then schedule them to come in. And for somebody who is out there struggling, I hear it in their voice. That is really hard for them. Really hard. And then you want to try to say that, I don't have a problem. Well, yes, you do, because you can't even get to a doctor. You know, it's really crazy to see with your own eyes from the side that I stand on. So I just try to help them over the phone as best that I can, become their friend, and tell them that there's a place for them.
You know, so we live in a society that self-worth is, people question their self-worth. Mm-hmm. And you just have to stop and say, how can there even be a thought that I have to question what my worth is? You're a human being. The worth is the same. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter whether you're on top of the world or whether you live on the bottom of the mountain. Your value was given to you the day you were born. That's all of us.
Yeah. Amen.
But I know when you fight that struggle and you're going through these types of things, you say, well, my life doesn't have any value. Mm-hmm. And we live in a society where value is based on things,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
What I have, you know, how many letters I have behind my name, mm-hmm. You know, yes. how many zeros I have, you know, in my bank account, you know, and so you've got to be able to get people who are sometimes at their lowest ebb uplifted enough to find value in themselves. That's not an easy thing to do, is it?
No, it comes up so much too, because what you say is so true. We have value, but sometimes, especially when we're younger, maybe people have not been treated with that value, and it starts to implant this thinking, maybe I'm not worth anything because this person didn't value me. It could be someone that was meant to care for them and protect them that abused them. We see that a lot. I think Bobby mentioned really trying to get down to the root, because some of the behaviors that don't make sense are because we've buried the why we do it so deep we don't even know. And so getting in touch with having a relationship with God, our creator, the one who created us, knows us, loves us, and wants to bring us up to the very best version of ourselves, of who we were meant to be. And there's freedom there.
You know, there are people who will say, well, I don't, you know, let's not bring God into it, right? I mean, we live in a world today where people really don't want to talk about that. They don't want to talk about a higher power. And even if you don't want to call your higher power God, whatever that higher power is, you have to realize that there's something. Well, you don't have to, but you. I choose to believe that there's a power greater than myself, and that impacts and affects my life on a daily basis. Whatever you call that, that higher power is up to you. But let's talk about when you bring these people in, and people who are broken, because nobody comes there who's not broken, right?
Right.
You know, and so they've in many instances harmed their families, their loved ones, their partners, their own children, maybe not even realizing that that has taken place. And sometimes that makes it even more difficult to correct it, the guilt that people feel. How is that, Jacqueline? How do you begin to overcome those things? It's not an easy process, is it?
Absolutely not. A real challenge, which we're up for, by the way. Basically, people come into the program, and one of the targeted questions on the induction questionnaire is, you do realize this is a Christian program and you will be reading the Bible every day. And most of them say yes, even though they don't know what Christianity is. I didn't know. I didn't have a relationship with the Lord when I came in. And we don't force anything on anyone, but we create an environment for them to learn something new. Basically, when you're at your wit's end, the doors are open, even if it's just a little tiny crack. And when you call it the right name, he comes in and he works and he moves. And so providing that environment, a safe environment for them, to tell them that they're worth something, to love on them. And basically, it just happens all on its own. They start to realize that, hey, maybe some of this is true. And you get a lot of resistance. Some are more hard-headed than others. And, you know, I'm actually at a loss for words right now. I'm thinking about our home and the women in the home. And basically, once you tell them that that you love them, it just starts to work.
So you talk about the women.
Yes.
And let's talk about the difficulties in a mother who has made this decision, and she's got children, young children, and she's got to go into a program that takes her away for an extended period of time. What happens with the children? This is not, people need to understand, it's the difficulties mm-hmm. that are involved in getting yourself right? I mean,
right.
And the kinds of decisions. What happens with the children, jobs, all of those different things that people have to navigate through in order to even begin to get into program? It's not an easy undertaking.
Absolutely not. And the woman that you're talking about is me. I'm a mother of three children, three boys, 17, 5, and 6. And I left my boys to go all the way to New York to find healing and to find hope and to find God and to find a better life.
So I want you to hold that thought, because
yes.
I don't want to cut it off as you get into it. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is our number. I'm joined by Teen Challenge. You two can join us. We'll be right back.
I don't know what they do with their lives, but me, I'm still on the road, ahead for another joint. We always did feel the same, we just saw it from a different point of view. Tangled up in blue.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 2789, 844-967, 2789. You text us at that same number. And for those of you who listen to me on a daily basis, you know, I spend a lot of time on politics. And so there won't be any politics today. Oh, there will. We're going to be, at 9:30, we're going to be joined by a friend who's running for lieutenant governor. So there will be some, but not all this morning. And I want to, again, welcome Ms. Jennifer Harper and Mr. Bobby Uborn, and Ms. Jacqueline Klein. And they're here with Teen Challenge, and we're talking about, how people can get help in their lives when their lives are not going according to plan. And when you, life is difficult enough in and of and by itself when you don't add these chemical things to your lives. And so we've got some folk here who have recovered and who are doing a great job of helping others recover, because at the root of recovery is changing somebody else's life through what you've been able to overcome. And before we went to break, I was talking with Ms. Klein about what happens when, a mom finally says, I've had enough, and I've got my children, and this seems an impossible task. How do you can't put motherhood on hold. Children require the commitment from the moms on a daily basis. How are women able to overcome this?
Well, you're hitting a soft spot. Like I said, I'm one of those mothers, and the numbers in our women's home are usually significant lower, and I think it's because of this. It's because mothers are required to be there and take care of their children. It's not as easy for them to just get up and go into a residential program, especially for a year long. I was blessed. I had family that were willing to take care of my kids, but when you're so far low, you're not there for your kids anyways, spiritually, mentally, physically. Most mothers are out there on the street while their kids are already being cared for, either by family, usually family. And so the reality of all of this is, it doesn't matter if you have a drug addiction or not. In life, it takes a community. It takes a community for everything in life. And we've come so far away from that. We trash each other. We trash ourselves. We're cruel to each other. And the Teen Challenge provides that community, something that I've never really experienced before. Our own families don't even get along. And it all goes back to the worth and what we put our worth in these days.
You look at a system or situation where if you're an alcoholic, it's kind of acceptable in a society. But if you are a drug addict, you are really the lowest of the low. Mm-hmm. And so people look at you in a completely different prism, if you will, if your drug of choice is something other than alcohol. Alcohol, we can kind of accept. He's on a bender, or she's on a bender. That's so we understand that. We're not as critical. But if somebody is on cocaine or marijuana, and then they are looked at as if they're from a different planet. Mm-hmm. And the impact of the destruction of people's lives are on the same plane, whether you are on alcohol or marijuana or any of those other drugs. But I do know that when you guys go about, let's go to the phone lines. Who do we have on the line, Sam?
Jackie's calling from Milwaukee.
Hey, Jackie, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
I'm doing well. I just had a comment. I think what these people are doing is so great. I lost a brother to alcoholism, and it was thought of as people like that are lazy and weak, and he was not like that at all. So to get people at a young age like that is wonderful. So I wanted to thank you and for having that this show.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. You know, our society has to, I mean, Teen Challenge is one entity. And you can touch the lives of only so many people. But the amount of people that are addicted in our society is overwhelming. And some people are really good at hiding it. Mm-hmm. And so you don't get to see it, and they don't show it. They're functioning, right? I mean,
yeah.
And so, you know, you're going to be able to do that for a certain period of time. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you have that personality, and sometimes it's, you know, it's nothing you did. It's in your DNA. Mm-hmm. And so while we are continuing to point fingers and blame at people and saying they're weak, and that's the last thing you need to tell a person who's struggling, right? I mean,
absolutely,
yeah.
Because there's a pushback, and if you, the loved one, continues to talk about the person who has the addiction and what that person is going through, the further they pull away from family, and that's mm-hmm. that's the last thing, right? That they need to do.
Yes. My father is one of those functioning alcoholics. And so for me, that's how it all started as well in the home, was just a few sips of liquor and alcohol, which is what I saw my parents doing and my parents going out and having yeah. fun. And that's how it all started for me. And that alcohol, the reality of it is it lowers your inhibitions. And then what happens? You're not making great decisions. Right. And so you can point the finger and blame, but that's the easy way out, right? And it's uneducation in our society. People are just not educated on how all this works. And it always escalates to something greater and something bigger. And then it's out of control before you even know it. I remember when I was in high school, we had the DARE program. And they pointed the finger and said, don't do drugs. But there wasn't, the word addiction didn't exist when I was going right. through school. And it took me, like you said, almost a lifetime, 37 years old, before I realized I had a problem and that this is controlling my life. So what is that? That's us not doing a good job of educating our kids on this subject, right? And there's a whole long list of things that we're not doing correctly.
You know, let me do this. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. And one of these things is, again, it's better if we can catch children before this happens, and make a commitment as a society that we would be a much better society if we are willing to put the resources in the right places, programs like yours to correct people to before their entire lives are wasted. We'd be a much better society. Teen Challenge is in the studio. 844-967-2789 is the number. What say you? We'll be right back.